From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm simply gorgeous anchorman, Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the Benedum Center for the Performing Arts in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Peter Sagal.
Thank you all. Thank you. It is, in fact, great. It is great to be back in Pittsburgh, PA, which many people still think of as a rust belt post-industrial wasteland, but is actually a gorgeous metropolis bathed by rivers, surrounded by hills, and populated by the most beautiful people on the planet. They also have a very generous tourist bureau. Thanks, guys. We'll be talking to Pittsburgh's native son, actor Jeff Goldblum, about this paradise on Earth. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, how are you doing, Peter?
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Sam from Andover, Massachusetts.
Andover? And what do you do there?
I'm a student at the University of Massachusetts in Lowell.
Oh, and what are you studying?
Chemistry.
I see.
Yeah.
And what do you want to do with that degree?
Well, I wanted to work in industry, but as
there is no more.
Well, we still have one, but it's really repetitive work, so I've decided to become a teacher.
Oh, that's excellent. We need more teachers.
Good for you.
I've watched enough TV to know that that's code for he's going to make meth.
Really? Much better. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. Samuel, first up, it's the humorist who'll be hosting Storytellers on a Mission with Roy Blunt Jr. at the Flynn Theater in Burlington, Vermont on November 1st. I mean, it's Tom Baudette.
Hello, Sam.
How's it going, Tom?
Next up, it's a style columnist for the Washington Post, Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, hello.
And finally, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, the inimitable Faith Saley is here.
Hi, Sam.
So, Sam, you'll start us off with Who's Bill This Time. Bo Curtis, of course, is going to recreate for you dramatically three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Do that. I bet you anticipated this, and you will win the voice of scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle on your voicemail. You ready to go?
I am very ready.
All right. Here is your first quote.
Oops.
That is the Calgary Sun, being kind of Canadian, as they talk about U.S. efforts to deal with what crisis?
The Ebola crisis.
The Ebola crisis! America is in the midst of an irrational panic attack about the Ebola virus. It's 24/7 on cable news. Even though 2 times more people in this country have been married to Larry King than have come down with Ebola. Maybe we should quarantine him if you're concerned about public safety. Ebola is extremely hard to get, as we all know, but thankfully our medical personnel are making it a lot easier. The Dallas hospital, which handled the first domestic case, managed to expose dozens of people to the disease, including 2 nurses who then contracted it. Hopefully, this should end the hospital's practice of ending each nursing shift by French kissing the patients.
Yeah, I might have my incompetent government agencies mixed up, but it seems like just a matter of time before Ebola jumps the White House fence.
That's true. Everybody was saying to President Obama, you have to take care of this, you have to show leadership. So President Obama canceled a trip he was going to go on to hold meetings to discuss the crisis. Well, of course, that's just an excuse. He doesn't want to go to the airport either. Somebody might have Ebola.
You know who I'm really worried about is Wolf Blitzer. Yeah, that guy hasn't taken a breath in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
He's learned circular breathing. He can inhale through the nose while spreading panic with the mouth. I just want to say that this whole thing, this whole Ebola crisis is a validation for those of us who spent all our time avoiding all human contact so we can stare at our phones. There. We're going to be the last one. We're all going to look up at our phones and everybody else is going to be dead. And we're going to like, oh. Better tweet that to the survivors. All right, very good, Sam. Here is your next quote.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an extremely peculiar situation right now.
That was a moderator at the gubernatorial debate in Florida Wednesday night. One of the candidates, Governor Rick Scott, refused to take the stage because his opponent in the debate was using what?
I have no idea.
Really? You didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about
Well, his opponent, who's former Governor Crist, two governors were debating, really wanted, if you will, to be cool during the debate.
It's that humidity, Sam.
He was using a fan?
A fan, yes! It's Fangate. Fangazi. The teapot fan scandal. I don't know. So this is what happens. You all know the scene. It's when a live debate starts on TV, and the lights come up, and there's the stage, and there's the bunting, and there's the podium. And there's one candidate with his silver hair waiting to go, and there's nobody else. Because the governor, the sitting governor of Florida, Rick Scott, refused to come on stage because his team asserted that Governor Crist, his opponent, former Governor Crist, had a little fan in his podium, and those were illegal under the agreed-upon delayed debate rules. And nobody could believe this. It was a political debate in 2014 that was actually interesting to watch. And Governor Scott finally agreed to come on stage. They allowed him to wear a tank top and shorts so he would also be cool. He looked good. Yeah. Apparently, the rule in question that caused the problem, there's no electronics allowed in the debate. This is obvious because you don't want, you know, people getting information through an earpiece or maybe a phone. But a fan? Is a fan a problem in this regard? I guess you can't be too careful. What if one of the questions was, Mr. Crist, what sound does the wind make?
Well, it just goes to show it's not the heat, it's the stupidity.
Maybe Charlie Crist, he's in his 50s, maybe he's just going through the change.
Here, Sam, is your last quote.
Will this mean the death of cable? Spoiler alert, yes.
That was Decider website talking about a company's decision to allow non-cable subscribers to use their streaming service at long last. Who is it?
HBO.
It is HBO. Very good. The announcement Wednesday that HBO would offer its programming online to anyone who paid was like this big vulture circling in the sky above cable TV. It means you won't need cable to watch HBO anymore, or CBS News, which offered the same thing. It also means you can stop sponging off your parents' password and start supporting yourself, you freeloaders.
Is this going to work like Netflix now?
Yeah, it is. Work just like that. And it's a good deal for anybody who's paying $100 a month for cable just to get HBO, because they're going to offer their online service for about $5 a month, which works out to just one penny per gratuitous nude scene in a season of Game of Thrones. Cable, though, is not taking this lying down. Cable TV says it's going to make a comeback sometime in a two-hour window between 2014 and 2018. Can't be more specific at this time, and no, it can't call you first. Bill, how did Sam do on our quiz?
Chemistry or not, Sam got them all right.
Well done, Sam. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck in the chemistry degree.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Bye-bye, Sam.